Andy Stern, President of the Service Employees International Union. Thanks for joining us on Health08.org.
Thank you.
Single biggest problem facing workers who are in the healthcare system today? Cost, access, quality?
A lack of a system. I mean, we really have a healthcare sector, not a healthcare system. Not everyone's covered. Doctors, hospitals can't talk to each other. We don't have any real way to put value on healthcare. So we need a system that has everyone in and has some protocols and way to do this work a lot better than it's being done today.
Last year, in 2007, February of 2007, you helped create, and the union is part of the coalition called Better Healthcare Together. Some strange bedfellows in there. Walmart is a member. Is that part of your answer to some of these problems you just described?
Well, I think the answer is that we need to appreciate we've gone from having a moral crisis about healthcare to an economic crisis, and no one can tell that story like the business community. I mean, America can't be the only nation on earth that puts the price of healthcare on the cost of its products and then competes with countries around the world that don't. So we now have an economic problem, and we think it's time the business community stand for quality universal healthcare and not just sit on the sidelines like they did in 1993.
What are the broad principles that the members of the coalition have and can agree on?
Everyone's covered. Everyone's paid. You know, we try to deal with prevention, technology, chronic diseases, the things that are really driving cost in the system and the things that are necessary to make it a system.
As I say, as we speak now, it was created about 16 months ago. Has this collection of groups gone beyond those broad guiding principles? Have you gotten down to the details?
I think, as we all know, that when you're at nice 30,000-foot principles, yep, there's a lot of unity around this town, you know, and as you begin to dig down, you know, we have not gotten there. That was never our intention, you know, to start with, to just, you know, dig down to the perfect health care plan. In the end, we're not legislators. I always like to say, if the Congress would like to lock a bunch of us in a room, many of the people you've already interviewed, I think we could solve this health care problem. But in the end, you know, we are advocates, not necessarily legislators.
But what's the what role does this coalition have if it can't get beyond these kind of broad ideas, which probably if you asked most people in America, they would say, sure, access for everyone, quality, of course.
Well, I'm not a veteran of the 1993 wars, mm-hmm, but one of the biggest problems that people said was, you know, you had consumers and a new president, you know, really pushing for change, and you had the business community, either in the case of the insurance industry, the assassins of change, or other business community leaders just sitting on the sidelines. I think Congress feels much more comfortable about making hard choices when they feel like people want them to do it. And it doesn't mean everybody's going to agree on every choice they want them to do, but I don't think we can have another situation where the business community just says it really doesn't matter to us, you know, and the assassins for change come out of the woodwork, you know, in the business community and try to kill it.
One thing you have said in many times in many forums, op-ed pieces, television shows, et cetera, is that the employer-based healthcare system we have today is a relic, is something that worked with the old economic model, not today. I think what you haven't said is, so what do we replace it with?
But I think we could look at what Ron Wyden's done, you know, as one avenue of replacement, you know, using the Federal Employee Benefit Health Plan. We can look at other countries around the world, some of whom have more government intervention, some who have more private market systems in Switzerland and places like that. I think there's a lot of models here. I just think when you have a kid like my son, 21, is going to have 9 to 12 jobs by the time he's 35. When you have 25% of the American workforce that's contingent, and only one out of three employers today will be economically relevant in 25 years. How in the world, in a self-managed work life, do you have employer-sponsored benefits? It's just not going to work in a 21st century economy.
Has that statement, has your belief rattled members of your union who depend on their employers for health care insurance?
Well, I think, you know, union members are very fortunate because they tend to be in more stable employers, particularly in our union. You have health care, you have the public sector, you have a lot of service sector jobs, cleaning and security. They're not going anywhere. So I think they're rattled on one hand. On the other hand, they go to the bargaining table every day and appreciate they're barely holding on to the benefits they have. They see their friends and families in their community who don't have any health care at all, and they realize their one job change, away from complete disaster as it relates to their health care benefits. So, yeah, they're a little bit nervous because they like what they have, but they appreciate they're barely holding on.
The single-payer plan is something that you have specifically said you don't like. You don't see that as a model. Why not?
No, we've endorsed John Conyers' bill for single-payer health care. We just think it's a...
It's a model based on Canada, for example. I've seen you in print saying that's not the way for the U.S.
Right.
to go.
I mean, I think we're going to have not a Canadian plan or a Scandinavian plan. We're going to have uniquely an American plan. You know, Medicare for All, I guess, is one way you could have a uniquely American plan. I don't see it in the cards. I don't think the next step in our healthcare system is probably getting rid of the employer-based healthcare system or going to a more government, involved healthcare system. I just don't think that's what Americans see as the next step. They want choice.
But culturally, we couldn't.
Yeah, people
go
want
there.
Choice. They are not yet convinced that the government is the best group of people to run the healthcare system. I don't think they would mind, if it was more financed, with more public money. But I think in the end, they want to be in a position to make some choices, and they're worried right now. And I don't think we should just keep pushing the same rock uphill, because we saw in California when we're trying to get the perfect, it becomes the enemy of the good. And now in California, there's still 5 million people who don't have healthcare. That was a victory for no one.
Andy, I have heard you say that in the United States, we have lost the value of conversation and compromise in the context of trying to push the rock somewhere. Mm-hmm. Were unions a part of that problem, and is that different now, again, in the context of healthcare change?
I mean, I think unions have to be very thoughtful because they're very fortunate compared to other people who do the same jobs. Union workers are twice as likely to have health care. They're much more likely to have a pension plan. And so, we live in a world of a lot of success, and yet we need to understand that this is America. We're all citizens. We have to think about our kids and our grandkids. And, yeah, we need to make a compromise because of what we've been doing for the last, 75 years since the New Deal, and we still don't have health care for every man, woman, and child. People still die in this country simply because they're poor. We need to find a better way to have a conversation, make a compromise, and take the first steps forward.
What kinds of things could you envision compromising on? What principles could you see compromising on to get at least a piece of what you're looking for?
Yeah, I'm not, the favorite friend of the insurance companies. I don't necessarily know what value they really add in the system, but I'm not going to be for a system that just gets rid of the insurance companies. I don't think that's, conceivable or possible in the near future. I'm certainly going to push them, to make sure that they do add some value. I certainly think we have some issues with the pharmaceutical companies, about advertising, about marketing, but I think they are, a truly American industry that actually, has some of the answers to the healthcare crisis. So I think we're going to sit down and try to let everyone be part of the system if they're going to add value and if they're going to make compromises. And I think when people stand in the way of change, maybe they should pay a price.
Every 4 years, we seem to have conversations like this. Is 2008 any different?
I actually think we haven't had this conversation since 1993. I think we've had a lot of conversation about policy since 1993, but this is now about politics and leadership. All the answers surround us on the healthcare situation. I think 2008 is different. I think costs are out of control. The business community is asking for change. The providers are asking for change. The consumers are asking for change. And we have at least one presidential candidate who's saying that he thinks in his first term that he will be able to have a healthcare system that we've been after for a long time. We cannot let this get out of our way. This is not the third rail of American politics or democratic politics anymore. This is what America needs to have a new economic plan for our country. This is what America needs to be a great country again, and I think we're going to see that discussion in 2008 with real proposals and real opportunities for change.
What do you think needs to happen more specifically? For example, at this moment we don't know who the nominee is in the Democratic Party, whether it's a Clinton White House, an Obama White House, a McCain White House. If something is to be done, does it need to be done early and quickly?
I mean, I think a lesson that we've learned in almost California recently, Bill Clinton's first term, is when you have momentum, get it done. You can't negotiate forever. You need to involve everybody on the front end, not while the bill is moving through Congress. You know, I think a new president, either one of the three, need to begin to think about what is their plan, how they're going to get it passed, how in this town do they build some of the same coalitions you're seeing being built, you know, with the NFIB and Divided We Fail, you know, that we're in as well. So I think you need to set the stage for healthcare if you really get it done. You can't wake up on January 21st and say, you know, I wonder what we're going to do about healthcare. You have to wake up on January 21st, the day after you announce in your State of the Union address that this is going to be your top American domestic priority, and then you got to do it.
And if you had a magic wand and you could say that 2 years from now some things would be different, what would you anticipate those things to be?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to do this incrementally. I think people are ready for fundamental change. And what we've learned in Washington since 1993, we can't even pass technology, you know, legislation. We can't pass certain legislation about chronic disease where there's a lot of unity. So it's no easier passing one small thing, in my humble opinion, than one big thing. And I think a new president gets a lot of opportunity to get one big thing done, whether it was George Bush and taxes or No Child Left Behind. I think Barack Obama domestically should say, my one big thing is health care, and it's time for Democrats and Republicans to come together with the business community, consumers, labor, the insurance industry, and get this thing done once and for all. America deserves it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because of everyone we've interviewed in this series, some people say exactly the opposite of what you've just said, that we need to do it incrementally, that smaller steps are the answer. You say big and bold. And I'm wondering if other important players who will be at the table feel as you do, or do you think incremental will take over?
I mean, I think incremental has failed. It will continue to fail, because all you do is draw out, you know, very specific interest groups with very different points of view on very one little small thing. You know, you see a lot of times when governors, you know, get elected and they make their first budget, they turn everything upside down because they know they have three more years before they have to come back and deal with all the changes again. I think this president has to turn this healthcare system upside down, in the sense that he needs to say, it's not going to be incremental. I'm ready to solve this problem, and it's not going to be perfect, and I've listened to all the ideas, and if you want to get on our team, let's go play. And I think a lot of people are ready to play for fundamental change. I think people understand we don't have 20 more years to control costs. We don't have 5 more years to deal with chronic disease. Even passing some of these things will take years, you know, to implement a new interoperable computer system. So I think we got to start now. We got to start big. That's what elections are about, to give people big change. I think Americans want it. And I think if they stick, and we intend after the election to spend as much money, we're going to spend nearly $100 million, make 10 million phone calls, have hundreds of our organizers not go to sleep after Election Day, but to stay in communities and on the phones talking to voters about their senator and their congressman living up to the promise to change our healthcare system. Our campaign is going to be just as big after the election as it is before the election.
$100 million after the election.
After the election.
To and push staff, the healthcare agenda.
Yes, and we're actually going to put $10 million of the $100 million aside in a fund for any of the candidates who run for office saying they want fundamental change, and then back up and say, well, I'm sorry, I really only meant incremental change. They are going to paint a target on themselves for a little bit of an accountability question for the voters in their district.
Okay, we'll check back with you next year.
Thank you.
Andy Stern, thank you so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.